And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. Stay tuned.
Well, I come from Alabama, with a banjo on my knee. Well, I'm heading on up that old Mississippi. Got a little woman waiting for me. Oh, 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 Susanna, don't you cry for me, 'cause I'm going to Louisiana with a banjo on my knee. Well, now it rained so hard the night I left. The wind blew a terrible storm. So I'm heading on up that old muddy river where the sun gonna keep me from harm. Oh, 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 Susanna, don't you cry for me, 'cause I'm going to Louisiana with a banjo on my knee.
Welcome to Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. You are listening to Free Radio 101.1 FM if you're lucky enough to be hearing us in one of the broadcasts, or we're streaming at www.freakradio.org. Today, when I'm doing this broadcast, it is January 21st, 2010, but apparently the electricity has been knocked out across the street from our transmitter or something to that effect, who knows. And so we are not actually broadcasting at this moment, but hopefully there will be some repairs made. PG&E will do its wonderful work, and we'll be back on the air as well. I have a two-hour show coming up here, which I had planned to be playing a number of tapes and have a guest or two, actually one specific guest, a call-in from Coalition on Homelessness Worker, who's an expert in San Francisco on the sit-lie law, which is the law that some neighbors and members of the Haight-Ashbury Improvement Association up in San Francisco would like to see put into effect. It would make it illegal to sit down on the sidewalk for any length of time, even if you're not obstructing anything. In other words, they want to take after Santa Cruz, which has a significant ban on any kind of sidewalk sitting near businesses within 14 feet of a business, in fact, as well as a number of other sacred objects, such as change-making machines, penguin sculptures, crosswalks, outdoor cafe fences, and so forth. Really, as I've seen it, and I think pretty clearly, It's a measure designed to put a whole class of people out of sight and preferably out of town, because it makes it much more difficult for them to find legal places to be. That's the sit-lie law. And I had a guest who was at yesterday's rally. 400 people in the driving rain up in San Francisco met under the Western Regional Advocacy Project's auspices, marched up Market Street, according to activist Mike Rhodes, who was up there, and who knows, even he might be calling in today. But it's disappointing because we can't really get this broadcast out to people who might be listening on their radios, unless you're listening to it as it's replayed at some later point. But them's the breaks, and I'm going to proceed anyway. Maybe I'll repeat some parts of the broadcast at a later time. But actually, sort of in hopeful beginning, I'm going to start by playing something I played some weeks ago, I believe it is, a CD I picked up of Robert F. Williams, who was a African-American who stood up for his rights way back in the 50s and was punished for it. He eventually was driven out of the country and began broadcasting from Cuba in a, well, with a station called Radio Free America. And interestingly enough, the disc that I thought I had of that seems to have disappeared even as I speak. Boy, this is not one of my better days. Perhaps I can find it. It must have been left in the studio. Perhaps it's around here somewhere. But it's really an interesting story. I encourage people to take a look at Robert F. Williams. Just Google for the name Robert F. Williams activist, and you'll find a very interesting history of struggle for civil rights for homeless people. Kind of a parallel track to Martin Luther King and other activists in the South, except he didn't have the support of massive numbers of Northern liberals, and it was before it was fashionable to do so. Actually, part of it was around the same time that Martin Luther King was doing his work some states over. Let's have another brief musical selection. That selection you heard as I came in, or as you came in, as we both came in, is from The Big Three featuring Mama Cass, and that, of course, was the banjo song. Banjo on My Knee. Here's another one from the same group, Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod.
Stars in the twinkling foam, and down from the skies came the wooden shoe, bringing the fisherman home. 'Twas all so pretty a sight to see, as if it could not be, and some folks thought it a dream they dreamed, sailing the beautiful sea. But I will name you the fishermen three, Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod.
Winkin', Blinkin', Nod.
And welcome back. In case you want to call in, and you certainly can, particularly those of you who can actually hear this while it's broadcasting and not archived, the number here is 831-427-3772, 831-427-3772. If you want to catch me off air with other questions, or you'd like to be a guest, or you have something you want to discuss privately, perhaps 423-4833 is the off-air info number. That's HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We're a civil rights group that meets every week at the Sub Rosa Cafe. That's at 703 Pacific between 10:30 in the morning and 12:30. Check us out, particularly if you're interested in restoring civil rights for poor people in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is a strange community because while it maintains this very liberal veneer and it's a progressive city and all that, and the sort of the flack and the hype that goes out, on some matters we are far behind even more, much more conservative cities like Los Angeles, San Diego, Fresno, Laguna Beach, Richmond, cities that have, for example, abandoned, mostly under court pressure, their law that criminalizes homeless people who sleep at night. Doesn't mean these cities don't harass homeless people, but at least they've reached the point which Santa Cruz has yet to reach, where they recognize they cannot do so explicitly and legally by banning their sleep at night. And Santa Cruz still insists that that's a fine approach, and we actually had an interview with the mayor, played it last Sunday, in case you want to hear it. And these shows, by the way, are archived, in case you want to go to the archives of Free Radio, though I think we're having a little problem with our archives, and you may have some trouble with this screen, and we're hoping we can get it fixed soon. The usual place to go is www.huffsantacruz.org. And if you can't get through to the archives, give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-4833, and I'll give you further secret instructions on how to do that. And again, the call-in number here is 427-3772. Because of the fact that we aren't going out live on the air, I'm going to be playing some material I haven't played, and hopefully that'll be of interest to those of you who are following the show regularly on the internet. But I'm going to postpone for at least 4 days until the Sunday show. I have a Sunday show in the morning on this station from 9:30 to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The rest of the January 6th bust audio, that's where four of us were citizen arrested, which is to say non-custodially cited, but cited, held, and then released for the crime of supposedly unreasonably disturbing noises. What that translates to is singing political songs on the sidewalk at the same volume we've always sung them for the last, I don't know, 22 years. But for the first time ever, because they can hide behind a citizen, police are using this to force us to go to court. And the court arraignment, at least for me and a couple others, I believe, is on the 2nd of February. And I'll be giving you more information about that as it comes up. We do have a volunteer attorney, Ed Fry, who's agreed to represent us, and we'll see how he does. It seems pretty clear to me from the wording of the law that they can't get a conviction on this one unless they have a judge who wants to convict in spite of the law. But as we've seen in some past cases, that's certainly not out of the question. So we'll see what happens with that case. In any case, I believe there is going to be a live interview, because I spoke to the person in question earlier today, at 7:30 this evening. That's going to be in about an hour and 15 minutes. And that's going to be on the issue of new laws that criminalize people for sitting and lying on the sidewalk, even if they're not doing so in a way that blocks traffic, in an attempt to eliminate the perception of a group of people taking over a bit of sidewalk for their own turf, creating gangs, drug dealing, unsafe situations, the perception of danger and sometimes the reality of danger. These are how the people who support this kind of law describe it. I actually have a long online debate with a relatively civil guy who really honestly supports these laws, or at least he sounds like he does, and he wants to have an open debate about them and answer every objection, unlike oh, I don't know, Santa Cruz City Council members who don't really want to deal with issues like the sleeping ban and all these other absurd laws they have in Santa Cruz, which are actually worse, by the way, than the laws of San Francisco, significantly worse, because, well, who knows, people in positions of power, maybe the laws are worse because essentially, though we seem to be this liberal community, we're only liberal in very certain specific respects, and that's been certain, the rights of poor people have been traded off in order to, I don't know, reassure the gentry who do support some manner of, they support the candidates that label themselves as progressive on the city council. And believe it or not, these included people like Coonerty and Rotkin and Riley, and Riley's no longer on the council, but Madrigal masquerades as a progressive. They all do. And actually, Madrigal is probably the most progressive person on the city council if you're looking at the very, very limited spectrum of progressivism that actually exists there. In any case, this guy's going to be calling in about the sit-lie law in San Francisco. And that hasn't been passed yet. It may not be passed, but it's up for discussion. It's being hooted and ballyhooed about by right-wingers in the San Francisco Chronicle and in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. And it's an interesting discussion. So I've kind of jumped on some of the blogs myself. Not sure why I do that, but I do. In any case, check it out at 7:30. And I'm going to jump back now to December. I guess December 31st here is where what we've got here. This is some of the interviews and observations I had on the evening of December 31st when there was I think we were joining the DIY parade, the do-it-yourself parade, in progress. Let's see if I've got this right. I'm doing a little catching up as we go here. And it looks like I've got to make sure I've got the right tapes before I do this. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think we do. Well, here we go. This is some tape from that evening, and it was a pretty mellow New Year's Eve. Even the police acknowledged that they probably had overestimated the number of people they were going to have to deal with and the number of crimes that would take place in the so-called triple fine zone. And let's hear some of the, on-the-street discussion.
What kind of a dancer are you?
I'm an everything dancer.
And you?
Woo-hoo!
And you?
Bark, bark!
That's a barking, dancing, or a doggy of some sort. And one of the dancers is being wrapped in what appears to be some sort of fur coat or stole. What's going on here?
It's an animal that my friend here caught and skinned and ate and then wore the skin after she ate it.
Very interesting. I'll have to see some evidence of that, but keep up that beat.
All righty.
We've been talking with
Eleanor, the queen of the parade.
Eleanor?
And you are?
I'm Robert, the court jester. Actually, I'm a radio broadcaster covering this.
Oh, excellent. Have fun.
I hope it will be.
Totally.
Dance on.
Thank you. You too.
We're talking to a winged woman. What's your name, woman?
Gail.
And now, you don't expect to be able to fly with those tiny wings, do you?
Oh, wings are magic.
Really? Do you have a permit for those wings?
Wings don't have anything to do with physics. It all is just magic, and it just happens magically.
We'll be waiting to see what goes on. Is this your first winged parade, or?
I've been in many parades. But this is the first one of these I've been in.
Well, aren't you scared away by Mayor Rotkin's statement that this parade should have a permit or beware?
No.
And there you have it. Scoff laws unanimous.
Hi.
Thank you. Right. When is this? We have some questionable people here. What's your name?
Bridges.
And?
Tatina.
And?
Brianni.
What are the three of you doing in this parking lot, blocking traffic, assembling? What is it?
We're just watching these wonderful musicians play them stuff.
Having fun with the kids.
Don't you know the mayor has suggested this parade has no permit and therefore no legitimacy?
Yeah, that's why we're here.
For heaven's sake! Any other comments for the free radio?
Everyone should come down and have a great time.
And again, we're talking with...
Satina.
Thank you, Satina.
Okay.
So, just what are you the queen of, if you're the queen of anything?
I am the snow queen, and I'm here to remind us that we need the glaciers. The glaciers are water, and when they melt, we have water for ourselves. And we need the glaciers to melt at the right time, not too fast, not too slow.
But how can you melt the glacier of the city council on this issue?
Well, we look forward to cooperation on all levels.
Now, this is quite a costume you have. It is lit up with either battery-powered or electric lights. I hope you're not wasting any energy here.
They're LED battery-operated lights.
You have on very white hair, which I suspect is not your real hair.
Oh, we went fake on the hair.
The whole costume is white. You're holding a very delicate fabric in your hand.
It's all polyester, and the gown is recycled.
Now, let's take a look at this gown. It's you aren't showing any cleavage here. What is it? You're not getting me very aroused.
Well, maybe next year.
We're talking with...
Joanne.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
We have various folks practicing their shenanigans. Here's a couple of wild and crazy poi dancers, I guess you'd call them. Streamers are being streamed around in this... Now, just what kind of Happy New Year dance?
Hi, Happy New Year!
And what is your name, poi dancer?
Lori.
And what exactly are you doing with these streamers?
I'm spinning poi.
And do you have a permit to do this, as I continue to ask?
It's not necessary to have a permit.
That's a very casual attitude. What are your children going to say when they look back and think, he had no permit? That all we have is a smile. So this is your first parade?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the DIY Last Night Parade.
Thank you.
Well, boy.
New Year.
Same to you. All right. Now, what is your name?
Hi. What's that?
What is your name?
My name is Vicky.
And you are flapping your
yes,
cloak.
Yes, I'm flapping my purple gossamer wings.
And you have a Happy New Year hat on.
I do. I have a Happy New Year hat that's red with sparkles.
A commie hat? Is that what that means?
What is it?
A commie hat, a red hat.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I haven't thought about that. I don't think so. You've got a red hat on, too.
No, we no. Might... This is it's a red, white, and blue hat. Oh. The blue isn't showing. It's a Santa cap.
It's very nice on you. I like all your buttons, too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So, this is your second parade?
No, this is probably my third, if not possibly fourth parade.
Yeah.
Maybe even the fifth. I don't know.
And I know last year the parade was... It moseyed down the avenue, and they tried to have a pleasant time in front of the Cinema 9, but then the police arrived very quickly and moved it away. What do you expect will be happening this year?
I just expect everyone is going to have a great time, and the police are just going to be watching and observing, but it's all going to be great.
Protecting your rights.
Absolutely. You know what? Everyone down here wants to just have a good time with peace and harmony and love. You know, the police just know that it's not organized or there's no permit, but do we need a permit to have a good time?
According to Mayor Rotkin,
well,
you should.
According to him, but, you know, we all know he's wrong.
For heaven's sake.
Again,
tend to agree with you.
I don't. Are you him?
Mayor Rotkin?
Yeah, you might be. I don't even know who Mayor
Rotkin is. If I'm Mayor Rotkin, I'm in deep disguise.
Because I don't even know what Mayor Rotkin looks like. I mean, I don't think they want any problems. But we're not a problem.
Indeed. We've been talking with?
Vicky Asanto.
Thank you, Vicky.
Happy New Year.
We have the woman with the flashing tits. Can you please sign in?
Hey, it's Wendy Wilde with the flashing tits.
Now, Wendy, you're quoted in the paper as, well, you seem to be dismissing Mayor Rotkin's concerns about a permit, and you have numerous scofflaws about you that seem to be doing the same, but there does seem to be a falling off of the number of people from last year. Did the mayor's comments be having an impact?
I don't think so. Considering the mayor was saying that it was going to cost so much for barricades and police presence, and yet the police said that they weren't going to barricade and weren't going to be here, so we're not costing the city anything.
Well, you should be assured the police are, in fact, keeping a weather eye on your questionable parade. I notice at least three squad cars, one of them at Taco Bell, one of them across the street, and a third, well, let's put it this way. Watch your step, Whitney Wild.
They followed me today.
And we all follow you. We know that. Thank you.
Bye.
What is your name?
I'm Dinesha Dawn Dancing Free.
And you are well lit. Are you some sort of Christmas ornament?
I could be. I could be the light of the new year.
Are you, in fact, the light?
Yes.
Are you the red light district light of the new year?
Yes, absolutely.
Does this mean that you have an erotic persuasion in this parade?
Yes.
You're persuading me. I can tell you that right now.
Play, everybody, everybody.
There you are, the spirit of Erato's future coming in here. Is this your first parade?
No, no. This is my second parade.
And what kind of an outfit did you wear last year?
I don't remember. I had a bike, though, when I was playing instruments. I don't have that this year.
So you weren't erotic. You were more musicotic last
year. Yes, I was musicotic. This is a contact improvisational year.
Well, contact me anytime, big woman.
Okay.
All right. Here's a person with a mask on. What are you trying to hide from? She laughs, aha. But the police are watching this parade. Just who do you think you're fooling?
Nobody.
There you go. That's the spirit. Now, are you the king, the queen, or just some sort of... What kind of royalty are you?
I am the queen... Princess of the Peas.
Fair enough, and thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
So we have many a costume and many a person in the parade. Here's a very small drummer in a kind of a tricycular vehicle. I think this is the spirit of Christmas to come. Are you the spirit of 2010? Who are you, madam, with your child and your bongo?
I'm a freak, a geek, a queer. Oh, my!
Now, is this
are you a duck? What are you?
He's got a duck nose on.
Are you a duck? Yeah, is it Pam today? Say Happy New Year! Feliz Año Nuevo! Woo-hoo!
All right, there we have it. A bilingual Happy New Year to all those folks out there. Thank you. Hey, madam. And here's what looks like a Food Not Bombs-ish cart.
I'm good, thank you.
The sign here, it being kind of pulled by a bicycle. Thank you, Odwalla, Staff of Life. Is this Food Not Bombs? Where's the sign that says Food Not Bombs? I see no sign.
On the other side, but you want some Odwalla's and bread, you can take those.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just taking the milk of human kindness at the moment.
All right.
But this is very nice. There's all kinds of drinks that are being allowed. There's a young woman on a tricycle. Other individuals, less heavily costumed. What do you think of this parade? ¿Qué piensas?
Oh, que es muy bonito. It's very beautiful. Yeah. And it brings people together. Beautiful. Yeah, I love it. Thank you. That's it.
The car is going the other way, somewhat blocked and slowed, but she says she is joining the parade.
Hey.
That's a new composition by
Tony Cusper.
And Tony's going to be doing some singing on Wednesday afternoon, coming up in front of the Bookshop Coonerty, or Bookshop Santa Cruz. It looks like the parade is blocking traffic. We're crossing Laurel and Pacific right now. Shockingly enough, cars are stuck. They're frustrated. They're turning around. No police officers are being employed here. And there's no rioting. I don't know what to say about this.
They're okay.
This is
okay half the time.
What's that? Say that again?
We're okay half the time. It's green now.
True enough. Now we're green, and then it's red. It's the People's March continues. And we have more unicyclists, unicycling. How's it going?
Good.
Young and unicyclist.
Okay, now that we've got this single
lane. We have at least five unicyclists being led by an older unicyclist, the children. And there are actually some people now along the side of the street watching the parade, including one woman with an illegal dog on Pacific Avenue. Shocking. Shocking. Two illegal dogs. We're going to have to arrest all of you later.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. feel free to join us at any time. Oh, hey there, singer. We have an actual homeless individual.
Who's Ricardo Lopez, the musician. How are you, Robert? Happy New Year to everyone and all these people in this wonderful parade.
There you have it. The greetings of Ricardo. Any word yet on your lost properties? Did you say was vandalized or stolen by Chief Ranger Wallace's men?
Yes. And they also got Lito and Anna's property yesterday.
Where and when did that...
And that doesn't sound good, but we do have a caller with some good news. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing tonight? Uncle Dennis here.
Hey, Uncle Dennis.
I could use a little more volume on your microphone.
A little more volume on my microphone or on your microphone?
Yours.
Okay, well, it's... my goodness, it seems
to be... The blue knob. The blue knob.
Oh, okay. How's that?
That sounds better.
I just wanted
to let Free Radio listeners know that if you're really and truly sick and tired of listening to Air One programming on this frequency, we've taken care of that problem. Thanks to the host of the Art Deck show, we have a generator that is now powering our transmitter. And we'll be up online as long as we can keep the generator filled with gasoline. We don't know when PG&E is going to restore power to the ultra-secret transmitter site of Free Radio, but I don't even think they know that we're down because of them. But anyway, it is a storm-related outage. There was no technical problems, no legal problems. It's just the storm caused a power outage and our transmitter site, and we are now running on a generator and back up and broadcasting to the Free Radio community as we've tried to do continuously for 15 years.
Are you sure, Dennis? Because I'm not getting you on my radio here in the studio. I'm getting a blank tone. So
maybe I'll have to go check it again.
You might do that because it doesn't seem to be coming.
It was running a minute ago.
I'm waiting for the signal, but it's... doesn't seem to be here. That's what we're getting, that static you're hearing right now. So, keep at it, you know, is all I can say. You there? I guess he's gone back to do some work. That was Uncle Dennis struggling in the field to get the actual broadcast going again. Those of you who are listening to this should remember the trials and tribulations of the hard workers of Free Radio who actually got this together. I'm not really one of them. I simply talk on the air, but other folks actually keep this station going, and my thanks to them for doing that, and I think it's really great. In case you want to be supportive of the station and you're listening to this broadcast in an archive form or a rebroadcast, you can. You can send money and checks and wampum, gold bars, and, you know, stocks and bonds to Free Radio Santa Cruz at Post Office Box 7811, Santa Cruz 95061. Or you can just go on the net to freakradio.org and kick down some money there. Or you can call our voicemail line at 427-4523. Also, any PSIs you want to pass on to us, concerns, complaints, questions, some of those can be answered, albeit perhaps after some delay, by leaving a message on the hotline or the cool line at 831-427-4523. I think we'll return now to what we were doing before. This is, again, a rebroadcast. Actually, not a rebroadcast. It's a broadcast for the first time of a bit of tape made on the last day of the year at the DIY Do-It-Yourself Last Night Parade, which received some notoriety in the paper because Mayor Rotkin was quoted by Genevieve Bookwalter as calling the parade people freeloaders for not kicking down $4,000 for permits. Although, actually, they probably brought at least that much business to the downtown area during the late afternoon and early evening when they showed up. There were, I don't know, probably more than 1,000 people there. Last year, Whitney Wild estimated 3,000. I think that was an exaggeration. Did you say 3,000, maybe 2,000, not sure. But there were certainly hundreds and hundreds of people along the parade route. And strange, they all sort of appeared like magic. As I walked up there 10 or 15 minutes before, the street was sparsely populated, it almost seemed like, or just a normal was it a Friday that the DIY parade was held? It was the, it was a Friday. No, Thursday, actually, Thursday night, because we did our broadcast. We actually broadcast live from Free Radio on that date. And so in a way, some of this may be a repeat, though I tried not to do that. I tried to turn off my tape recorder when I was actually broadcasting live from a cell phone, thoughtfully donated by Coral. Thank you, Coral. And so some of this stuff is going to be new. Actually, most of it is new, at least for those of you who are listening. Although it does sound a little vanilla. I apologize for it. There's a political slant that's, of course, always sneaking in there because one of my main concerns is to emphasize the dimensions of, well, essentially it's people suffering because of bad laws and bad policies downtown, specifically anti-homeless laws, laws against the poor. And that always comes up, although less so when there are a lot of people out who are taking up the space and, you know, actually providing perhaps juicier targets for the police, perhaps, or perhaps providing support and cover for each other. Here's getting back to the last night parade, DIY. Here we go. And if you have any thoughts, if you're listening to this in the stream or if we suddenly go live on the air in a broadcast, we are live right now on the stream, but if you suddenly can hear us on the radio and you want to call in, the number is 427-3772.
We have an actual homeless individual. Who's
Ricardo Lopez, the musician. How are you, Robert? Happy New Year to everyone and all these people in this wonderful parade.
There you have it, the greetings of Ricardo. Any word yet on your lost properties? Did you say was vandalized or stolen by Chief Ranger Wallace's men?
Yes, and they also got Lito and Anna's property yesterday.
And where and when did that happen?
That happened in the afternoon because my friend saw it and we ran running around trying to find Lito and Anna. I still don't know what happened. Yeah, but they saw the, he said, he came running up to me and said, where's Lito and Anna? The park people just got his stuff. They loaded it up into their truck. I know, poor people. Where do poor people put their stuff?
Where exactly did this happen?
On the levee right up here by Laurel Street.
And about what time of day?
In the afternoon.
And how many people were involved in seizing the property or stealing it?
I don't know. I was just involved in the search to find Lito and tell him that it happened. My friend Jack Straw saw it.
Fair enough. Well, thank you, Ricardo, and may your music continue to haunt the avenue.
Thank you very much, Robert. Happy New Year to you and to everybody involved with Cop Watch and the radio station.
Hear, hear.
And I should say that at the time throughout the parade, I was wearing a sign that said Cop Watch.
And we're passing Tampico's now. Again, there seem to be more people on the sidewalk than there were 20 minutes ago, amazingly enough. People just appear. Join us! We need you. All right. Pound on, pound on. Woman with a golden costume doing a drum pounding. And now we have a float, which is made up of a number of Egyptian-looking heads, Anubis and other, and then leading this float. What kind of a float is it? What exactly is this float?
What
is this float? What's going on here? Are you Egyptian?
What is going? No, I am not. I don't think I'm Egyptian at all, actually.
What is that cobra thing on your head?
It is an item that is sparkly and a beautiful shade of gold.
True enough. True enough.
Yes, that's my motivation for wearing.
Are you a member of the Egyptian Secret Service?
No.
It's a plot to deny the Palestinians the right to cross.
But you know what? My name is Cleo. That counts for something, right?
It's one of your minions here, an animal.
I'm a horse.
Yes. You're a horse. A talking horse. Yes. You expect me to believe this is a horse?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she is providing the motivation for my carriage. For real.
She's are you horsing around? Is that the point?
Yes. Absolutely. She is, not me.
I'm the workhorse.
You're the workhorse. And you, it looks like I'm having a little trouble seeing underneath that the horse horse with eyes lower than its head. An interesting looking. What's your name, horse?
Cat.
And you?
Horse named Cat. Now there we go.
Could be a new book, a new movie series, or a TV series.
Cleopatra, actually.
All right, Cleo.
It's the only day of the year that my name is Cleopatra.
Fair enough. Well, we'll let you continue with your fantasies, Cleo.
Oh, all right. I like that. Thank you for watching.
We're in the gong section now. It's a little loud, and pretty soon we're approaching the parasol section at the head of the parade. And the sign says, "Game a lot," and some other unintelligible wording that I can't read. And we have some other reporters are here as well. What's your name, sir?
I'm Maitland.
And who are you reporting for a particular group?
Absolutely. I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't have any of it on here.
Looks like a tape recorder, but no.
It is, yes. But I was just enjoying these guys because I was blasting some music a little bit earlier.
Blast on.
I will. I think I might blast on in just a moment. Maybe I'll drop back a little bit since these guys are, I don't want to compete for airspace.
Well, that's very
enjoying
very generous of you.
Stepping up and down, you know. Boom, boom.
And continue your good work.
All right. You too, man.
And now we have reached Cathcart and Pacific at 10 to 6. And we have infamous Louis LaFortune, who is next, will tomorrow be covering this whole thing on his 1st of January show, which he'll probably not be having.
Oh, no, I think it will be happening, actually.
And who is your surprise guest? Not that it makes any difference, since we'll be playing this on Sunday.
No, I'm not planning to have a surprise guest. But if I do, it'll be a surprise.
I see. Yeah, that's surprising.
To you and me.
Well,
I see you're wearing a sign on your back that says Cop Watch.
I can't see any cops. I've not seen any cops since we started walking.
Good.
Shockingly enough. Now, I think this is very depressing. I need security. I mean, Obama has told us that they're coming from Yemen. They're coming from Somalia. Can we stop them?
You need to be watchful.
I don't know.
You're watching the real...
I don't know if anybody knows the violence. My eardrums are breaking in half. So we're down here now crossing, I think it's the Lincoln Street, and then there is a respectable crowd taking pictures and watching, and of course the dancers are dancing. We have, is this a horse, is this a horse riding in a carriage?
I'm a horse, and I'm riding a carriage being driven by a horse.
Well, that's not a horseless carriage.
It's a two-horse carriage.
It's a horsey carriage.
Yes, horsey carriage.
What is your name, horse?
My name is Colleen.
Well, Colleen, keep up that clopping.
I'll try.
And indeed, it's a beautiful carriage. It's a bicycle carriage, covered with feathers and different implements, orange, and then well lit up as well. And there are some cloppy-clop horsey dancers dancing around. And as we reach Soquel, the crowd is definitely getting thicker. And the cameras are clicking. And it looks like the crowd is kind of nestling in on the parade people. Join us! And here's another bicyclist. What is your name, bicyclist?
Michael.
And Michael, just what kind of a carriage are you bicycling here?
I'm bicycling my master.
Your master is a young person?
He's a mad scientist.
And what kind of inventions does he have in store?
Nuclear fission.
I see. So he intends to split the atom.
No, he intends to reinsert the atom.
So he's going to de-insplit the atom.
Yes.
A revolutionary plan.
I agree.
I better interview him. Are you a mad scientist?
Yeah.
And just, what are you mad about?
Inventing things.
Can you, what do you intend to do for your first experiment?
Create something create a synthetic vampire.
And now, what effect do you think this will have on the Santa Cruz economy?
Well, I expect people to flee from the synthetic vampire because it's going to make it...
I'll let you think about that for a while. And what's your name?
Justice.
Take care. I'll see you later. I'll be back here if you need me.
Cool.
And we have a number of bicycle-driven carriages. What kind of a carriage are you driving?
Rickshaw.
And are you getting paid a proper wage for this work?
I wish.
Well, why don't you go on strike? I could stop the entire parade.
I don't know. It's fun.
I'm not suggesting anything of the kind, of course. What's your name, driver?
James.
Any comments about the parade or what you've observed so far?
Everybody's having fun.
Looks that way, doesn't it? Thanks.
Thank you.
And who are you? Are you the master? You're getting you're not even paying your driver. What is this? What about the minimum wage?
No, he doesn't need minimum wage.
Typical Santa Cruz business owner.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
You're welcome.
Here we have a violinist.
Hear him violin.
What are you playing there?
Nobody wants to knock you. Go ahead.
Never been heard before. It will never be heard again.
A unique violin play.
One-time production for New Year's Eve.
Come back.
All right.
Happy New Year.
And the same to you.
What? You stay off this. Stay away from me.
Say it again.
You know what? You're a fool.
Say it again.
Go away. We're having a party.
Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going. Keep going, man.
And not all. Actually, that was the only moment of real personal hostility on the New Year's Eve. An individual was upset that I was nearby. I think he doesn't like me personally. I don't even know who he is. But otherwise, it was a mellow scene. And frankly, you might even say a little boring in a certain sense. In fact, I heard a criticism from at least one listener that this was pretty fluffy and puffy and seemed to lack a lot of substance. She heard not this broadcast, which, of course, is just being done for the first time, but the original broadcast on New Year's Eve, when Curb Hugger Chris and I, through the offices of Uncle Dennis, who was in the studio, did a live broadcast from the street on Thursday, 31st of
29. Oh, sorry. And that was the only disgruntled person I've run into. Oh, sorry. Hey, Charlie. So far. Louis, we're talking with Louis LaFortune again. Louis, how does this compare with last year? Is it bigger, smaller, about the same?
You know, I think it's a bit larger, actually. It's a tone that is striking me. It's very sort of very relaxed and mellow this year. Last year was a bit more boisterous. But it's wonderful. The streets are lined with people and a big crowd. Everyone's obviously enjoying the fantastic display of wheeled art that's going by.
Sure. The occasional accordion player.
Oh, yeah, we got an accordion guy.
How's it going with the accordion?
Good. Good.
No one has offered to shoot you yet. And we have many a bubble here, and probably many a bubblehead. Here's Valerie Corral. I'm not sure she's doing the bubbling now. Hey, what's happening? And I just got a hug from... And what are you... what does your costume simulate? Who knows?
Who knows? Just life reflection.
You're having a little too much fun, I think, here.
I'm just having a...
Try to be more sober, okay?
Unfortunately, I am.
Familiar face from the St. George Hotel struggle of 20 years ago.
And again, you're listening to the last night of the year, downtown on Pacific Avenue. This is Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. And it sounds like we are actually broadcasting. Yep, there's even a delay as I play it in the studio. So hats off to Uncle Dennis for getting the station back on the air. And I guess it's with our own power. We are generating our own power and thereby powering our own generator, or powering our own transmitter, I guess the word would be. So you can call in, you can listen in, and we're going to switch now to what was promised earlier, 45 minutes ago, which is a continuation of the audio from the Sinister Sidewalk Song Slaughter, or the four tickets given out on January 6th to myself and three others for unreasonably disturbing noises for singing political songs, and some of them actually not even political songs, on the sidewalk in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz in the course of a demonstration that was slated to last from 1:30 to 3:30, but actually the singing was happening sporadically, I think between 2 and 3. But in any case, it was interesting because I've sung many a time in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz and sung this song, you know, Downtown, for those of you who are regular listeners. When you're alone and rents are making you homeless, you can always go downtown. That's the song. It has a whole bunch of stanzas which are very specific to Pacific Avenue and talk about the anti-homeless laws and the crazy policies that have been implemented in the last 15 or 20 years to sanitize them all, run off poor people, give police greater powers, and so forth. Allegedly, of course, to deal with bad behavior, but very few of them have actually to do with the specifics of bad behavior. They're kind of these like preemptive strikes that want to remove the possible foci of bad behavior. Anyway, we've sung about this. I've sung about it. Others have sung about it in the same place at the same time even. It was a Sunday, actually it was a Wednesday afternoon, in the middle of the day. And there's really a pretty high standard for noise during that period of time. There's a lot of street noise. There's a lot of ambient noise on the sidewalk. Other musicians are playing back and forth. And, you know, we have a relatively small group. We don't have any real amplified sound. I think somebody had a small keyboard. But, you know, it was really, really very quiet. And the police, who may have been passing by, had no problem with us. The hosts, I don't think, had any problem with us. And therefore, we weren't engaging in unreasonably disturbing noises. Because if you're violating the law, it doesn't matter if a police officer or a private citizen hears it, that's a violation of the law. But the police, however, chose to use the fiction that because somebody else was complaining, they were required to issue a citation, which isn't true. So, for example, when I tried to respond by saying, okay, this is a false police report, I'd like to issue a citation to the people who are complaining that if they are, in fact, signing a citation swearing that these things, that this is unreasonably disturbing noise, isn't just a matter of opinion. The wording of the statute is really quite clear. It has to be physically annoying to a person of ordinary sensitiveness and so unusual in its time, place, or manner. It's a very specific statute. This is not that, and therefore they're engaging in a false representation, and therefore I'd like to see, say I've witnessed a crime. Please take my report and have them come to court for that criminal charge. And, of course, the police officer was not interested in that citation. So you had selective enforcement going on downtown on Pacific Avenue. And unusual, the reason for the kind of the mechanism that was happening here was that the police apparently have adopted a policy of whenever anyone complains about any music anywhere on Pacific Avenue, they tell the person to move along or they write them a ticket signed by the citizen. This is becoming a sort of an unspoken agreement between the police officer and the citizens, and perhaps orchestrated by the Downtown Association or the perhaps the police department itself in terms of advising citizens how to make arrests and so forth. And there is a purpose in letting citizens know how to deal with real situations that they witness, real crimes that they witness, real acts of assault or abuse that they witness, and the police officer may not be present in the field. They can't write a ticket to someone unless the person who's a citizen who witnesses it, the community member, is willing to sign a citation. And I'm glad that people know that power and have that power. But of course, it becomes a class war and a very slanted situation when those kinds of tickets are only written at the behest of one group of people, whether they're residents and merchants or people of money or owners, whatever. And if the other group of people doesn't have that same power and the police don't give them equal say in the situation, that seems to be what's happening. And more important, what's happening is that people who are living on Pacific Avenue during the day are going to be given a veto on anybody playing music outside. And that simply is wrong because the sidewalk is a place where people have the right to use the public space, to sing in the public space, provided they're not really screeching and howling at a high volume such as to actually disturb the peace. Then it becomes illegal. So the fact that the police are not acknowledging this and not advising people who are saying, oh, it's too loud for me, say, well, look, you know, cars are louder, you may not like it, but, you know, we can move them along if they have a display device. You know, or you can, you know, shut your window and, you know, turn on your radio if you don't like it, you know, or something to that effect. Unless it rises to something that's actually physically uncomfortable for people who are relatively nearby, you don't have a veto over that. But unfortunately, people who are essentially hecklers in some sense are now being given a veto over music they don't like on Pacific Avenue. And that's just simply wrong and violates the First Amendment. It violates the actual law that's written. And it's a form of discrimination and repression against a class of people on the street. Anyway, I played the first part of this audio tape. This is where a police officer, I believe her name is Schoenfeld, came up and told us to move because she'd gotten a complaint or else she'd write a ticket based upon the citizen's arrest, not because she thought it was too loud. We kept asking her, do you think it's too loud? She wouldn't give us an answer. It would have been a relatively easy matter to say, yeah, it's too loud, or no, I don't care, or I can't really say, but, you know. But she refused, which indicated to me she was trying to preserve the illusion that, or she was willing to preserve, she didn't want to say, I don't find it too loud now. She actually came up when some of it was being played, because that would have been evidence to discredit or discourage the people who signed the ticket, although I guess presumably it could have been loud earlier if, in theory, and one wonders why the police officer, Officer Schoenfeld, wasn't more candid about this, just saying, yeah, no, I didn't find it too loud at the time, or, yeah, it hurt my ears. She wouldn't say any such thing. But just, I'm writing a ticket. She kept repeating this almost robotically. I am here at the citizen's request, as though that were the only issue. You move along or else. Finally, she agreed, if you keep it quieter, that's what's wanted, and we said sure. At which point, she wrote four tickets anyway. And we joined this narrative, which you can hear that narrative by going to the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, and clicking on the last show. And there may be some problems with the website, as I said before. And if you are interested, give a call to 423 Huff, and I'll give you another way of reaching that. And hopefully, we're going to have that problem cleared up soon. But this is the rest of that tape. And this is probably tape that's going to be presented as evidence in court that there was certainly no unreasonably disturbing noises. And perhaps in civil court later, if and when we choose to sue the people who essentially attempted to chill First Amendment rights on Pacific Avenue with the police colluding and to essentially try to stop that practice from happening. People certainly have a right to complain about noises that are truly unreasonably disturbing. But as I've said before, unreasonably disturbing in this city, in this municipality, because of the specific wording of the law that actually exists, is a pretty, requires a lot of noise. And that is, any noises or sounds which are unreasonably disturbing or physically annoying to people of ordinary sensitiveness or which are so harsh, so prolonged, unnatural, or unusual in their use, time, or place as to cause physical discomfort to any person and not necessary in connection with an activity otherwise lawfully conducted. You know, like singing or political protest, which is a lawful activity. Therefore, the law doesn't apply. Therefore, the cop writing as a ticket for the law is colluding in an attempt to suppress an unpopular group, a group that's at least unpopular with the resident and with the people involved. It's a mistake, even if it's not in a specifically targeted political move. But in this case, I tend to wonder if it isn't just that. But it's hard to say. Anyway, this is the second part of the tape. What's happening here is the officer is writing out citations. She was taking citations from a guy named Sean Riley, the citizen who was complaining. Right above us, there was a woman leaning out the second floor window having an argument with activist Becky Johnson, who was criticizing her involvement as a person who, even though she wasn't signing the citations, seemed to be intent on driving us away. Note, not getting us to sing more silently but drive us away. And this was after a period of time when there was some periodic singing between, well, 2 and 3, maybe a little earlier, 1:45 and 3. But there was no attempt to drive people away, let's say under the ordinance, which is another wild and crazy ordinance that has been adopted almost only in Santa Cruz called the Move-Along Law, which says you can't have a political table for more than an hour or a display device. And there wasn't really a display device there except insofar as I think one of the musicians had one of those things that holds music so you can look at it, but it isn't something that takes money, which is what they usually mean by display device. So the actual wording of the ordinance is very tricky. It says something capable of holding tangible things. This is a law they could have used because they can require you to move along every hour with this display device law, which has never been really challenged in court and should be. But that wasn't one they chose to use. Instead, they chose to simply allow the anonymous. It wasn't for initially it was anonymous, but then we found out who it was because the citizen wrote four tickets. So we're going to hear some more of that particular no singing on the sidewalk in Santa Cruz if somebody upstairs doesn't like it.
I'm just waiting.
Hey, Officer Inouye.
Officer Inouye arrives. This is the second police officer.
Yeah, who's she fighting?
So the police are concerned to act as a private security guard for these two people here. These are two people who don't want them playing this down here. I believe that's correct, isn't it? You want this music stopped, is that right?
We're not allowed to have a warning.
Okay, that seems to be what's happening.
There's no warning about.
So now they're trying to ticket her for doing that.
Neighbors up there.
We weren't given any warning.
No warning.
Who gave the warning? I wasn't here when the warning was given.
Yeah, but we didn't play.
Well, have I played any since then? No.
Yeah,
we weren't going to move at that point.
Yeah. You didn't say to move.
You didn't say to move.
No, you said to keep it quieter, and it's on tape, Officer Schoenfeld. So don't mistake what you said.
And again, I'm not going to try to interrupt a lot, but previously in the last half hour of this tape, which again you can hear by going to the prior show, the officer initially told us to move along, and we said we want to play more softly, but we need to know the standards wherever we happen to be, how loud we can play. And then, is this too loud? Is this too loud? The officer would not say. She would not give us any standards. Finally, she said, just play more quietly, and we said, okay, we want to play here. We don't want to have to move along. Because we're engaging in a political protest. We had signs up about the homeless dead. That's really what we're talking about, the many homeless people that died in the previous year in Santa Cruz. And instead, in spite of all this, the officer took these four citations, which require people to come to court and create a lot of anxiety, at least among some of the singers, and have a significantly chilling effect. And Becky Johnson, who is one of the people ticketed, kept asking, how loudly can we play? Well, I mean, we're willing to try to play more quietly. What's the standard? And Schoenfeld would give us no answer whatsoever, simply robotically saying, you must move along because you are given, or the citizen will give you a ticket. She actually means the police will give a ticket because the citizen, if she wants, or he wants in this case, his name is Sean Riley, could go to the city attorney and make a request that there be a prosecution. Which is what I was told when I asked the officer to write a ticket to Sean Riley for a false report that there was unreasonably disturbing noises. First, she kept assuring me, oh, sure, I'll be happy to do that. The police officer said, I'll write you the citation. I'll write the ticket to Sean Riley, and he can appear in court too. But then when it came my turn, after I'd waited 15 minutes, she refused to do it and then just left. You're going to hear that as she refuses to do it. So it's the situation as we're listening to a Pacific Avenue encounter on the 6th of January, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Really? You listen to 911?
It's all on tape. Yeah, we'll see who agrees with you.
False police report. This is not unreasonable noise. False police report.
I found it unreasonable.
That's a misdemeanor. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, you're making a false report.
Well, you'll be involved.
Yeah. You get to go to court. It's fun.
I know you're ignorant. I don't care.
I know you don't care. That's what it's obvious to us.
That's what it's all about, really.
It's not caring. Whether it's caring or you don't have any reason to care.
No, I don't care about what you think about
what
you.
Law, just, or right for people. Maybe what's good for you.
Officer Schoenfeld, then I want to file a complaint.
Well, I will. Enjoy the day.
Okay. Sure, that's fine. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to make sure to know when you're finished. That's all.
We need a hobby.
Woo!
I'll put, yeah, close your window.
Why don't you close your window? Could that be a good idea?
Try closing the window.
What happened?
Yeah. I'm being excited.
Seriously.
But, you know, if you'd come down and spoken to us, I think we would have tried to keep more quiet.
I've spoken to you guys so many times.
I have been out here. You have never spoken to me ever, sir.
Yeah. You know, you guys woke me up. I lost my patience.
So you lost your patience without even coming down. That's the point, didn't you?
Yeah, after listening to you guys for 3 hours,
so you don't,
it gets old.
We weren't here for 3 hours.
I'm sorry. I heard you guys for 3 hours.
Well, then you've been hearing things, sir.
No, I'm not hearing things.
No, I know when I arrive. Anyway, I'll false police report.
We'll defend you, Michelle.
I live in the St. George, and I just came downstairs. What's going to happen, okay? What it's going to be is a citation.
What's happening here, just so you can't see it, a woman who had just come down to actually hear the music was suddenly accused of being a singer, and when she attempted to get up and walk away, Officer Inouye grabbed her by the arm and held her. And this is why I call this an arrest and not just a citation. She was prevented from leaving the scene. She was arrested by the police officer in the sense that she was held by the police officer. I guess you could say detained, but it also qualifies as a non-custodial arrest. She isn't taken into custody. She isn't handcuffed. But unless she signs the document, she will be taken to jail. And hell, she might even be charged with refusing to cooperate or obstructing an officer. And this really upset this woman who was simply there to witness what went on, to listen to some music, and she then was accused of singing. This shows you how confused the people with the citizen's arrests, Sean Riley and his companion, his friend, the woman upstairs in the second floor window, who were making this charge, were in the midst of this.
Okay, you can go to court. You can.
So they're citing the wrong person.
Okay.
But you can't cite me. I wasn't here singing. Robert, I wasn't here.
I know.
I was not here singing.
And what's the citation about?
I wasn't. And I can't just leave work because I teach.
To go to work.
It's going to be unreasonable.
I wasn't here.
What is the citation for?
I was not here singing.
I understand that. That's what you're saying. But this other individual who is signing the citation.
How could he see me if I wasn't here?
He said you saw you from outside there.
I wasn't here. Tell them.
They don't care. They just anybody associated with us is going to be charged.
At one time, it's going to be going to court. You can argue in court.
I don't want to argue at all. I wasn't here.
You were here when I walked up.
No, I wasn't. You were here when I walked up.
It's on video.
It's on video. I wasn't here.
Can you get this officer ID, please?
I can't. I live up in the St.
George. Just give him your name.
You could ask to be taken to a magistrate if you want.
Yeah.
It's still within court hours.
You have the right not to give your...
You can. Which means we
take
arrest
me.
We put you in custody.
Can you step a little bit away from me?
In front
just a little bit. You're a little in my personal
now?
Place. Thank you.
Yeah. And you wait until they're available.
Not to the jail. To the magistrate.
Actually, you go to the jail and you wait for the magistrate.
This is interesting. This is an aspect of the arrest that ordinary folks may not be aware of. If you want, and the courts are open, you have a right on these infraction cases, maybe even on misdemeanors and felonies, to be taken directly before a magistrate to see if you claim there's no probable cause for the citation. And perhaps that is what we should have done. An officer anyway, you have just heard saying, we will take you to the court and you'll wait for a judge. But then he is contradicted by the officer who originally came up and seemed to be the person driving some of this ticketing, Officer Schoenfeld, who said, no, we'll take you to jail and hold you there. And the point again, holding this threat of taking a person to jail instead of to the judge, which is not what's supposed to be done, although that is what they do after the courts close. And it was about 3:15 when this was happening. So the courts, I think, were still open. They're open until 4 in Santa Cruz. It was another example of the repressive procedure, repressive and prejudicial procedure being used by Officer Schoenfeld, who seems to be, she was new on the beat to me.
Is that what you would do, Officer Schoenfeld? Because that's not the customary procedure.
On the sidewalk?
You're not going to, if right now you're impeding our investigation.
So they're refusing to take her directly to a magistrate as well. That's what Officer Schoenfeld just said.
I will go with her.
And your date of birth.
I'm a teacher. I will go
with
start there. I don't know who that man is, but I live in the St. George and I just walked down the stairs, all right? I live in that apartment. He couldn't have seen me singing here because I wasn't here. I didn't get here until after 3.
And you can argue that in court.
So why are you taking his word against mine?
He's making the site. I live there too.
Because the police department orchestrates this kind of thing originally. That is to say, they teach merchants how to make these kinds of complaints when they come down. They hold seminars on the subject. They have for the last few years.
But I'm not free because of teaching just to show up in court any day. And I didn't.
And if that court date does not work for you, then you can request a different court date.
All right.
Oh, how convenient. Okay, do you have your ID on you, please?
Well, you know my name.
I do, yeah.
Oh, well, then I guess I don't really have to show it.
You do still need to show it.
Because I will identify myself.
I need to see your photo.
My name is Becky Johnson.
Photo ID on you.
I do, but I don't need to show it to you.
I know your last name. I know your first name because these other people told
me. My name is Becky Ann Johnson.
O-Y.
And what you hear here is Becky's been given a ticket. She asserts her right to not have to show ID because unless there's some suspicion that she's attempting to evade justice, in which case she'll be taken to jail and held until her ID can be verified. But the notion that you have to show ID because a police officer asks you is another fiction of fear that's created by police officers in Santa Cruz, which just isn't true. If you are using a false name in order to avoid some kind of a ticket, that's criminal behavior. But otherwise, all you are required to do is to identify yourself satisfactorily, verbally, so that the ticket can be written and you can take responsibility for it, assuming you don't choose the option of going to a magistrate, which you need to do when the courts are open. So that would be on a weekday, probably at midday. It was a little late for us to be doing that, but even so, we were getting misinformation from Officer Schoenfeld, who was clearly attempting to press on for this procedure that the police have developed, which is a person complains about music, we come down and threaten the musician leaves, all is well. When the musician says, hold it, I'm not playing loudly, then the answer has to be, then we're going to force you to go to court, we're going to essentially make you fear that we'll do this again to you, and then the second time you do it, within 48 hours, it's a misdemeanor, which is a crime punishable by up to $1,000 in fine and up to 6 months in jail. So it's a way of establishing sort of a fearful power and authority on Pacific Avenue, a way of getting the police can get people to respond in ways that they consider appropriate, but that may have little to do with the facts of the case, the rights of the people on the streets, or justice in the long run. That's why you don't allow police officers to dispense justice on the streets, because you'd get a different kind of justice. Of course, in the courts, it's often nearly as bad because the courts have close relationships with the police and tend to believe them over ordinary people. Again, continuing, you're listening to The Bust on January 6th of 4 people for singing on the sidewalk in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz while they were tabling and getting signatures on petitions to deal with issues around homeless deaths and how to stop that kind of thing and restore rights for poor and homeless people.
And with the E at the end?
Date of birth?
No E.
1229. And so your last name?
Johnson.
And your address, Becky?
Address?
842 Prospect.
How are you doing?
Apartment 35.
And your zip code there?
Driver's license downtown. Check it out, Robert. I don't want to put my info on the tape.
Tickets for political music downtown by the residents of the St. George Hotel right here.
You know, it's illegal to sleep at night, but you join the city council and you can sleep all you want.
And what the speaker there was saying was, he was referring to a picture in the, I think it's the Good Times of the Santa Cruz Weekly, of Vice Mayor Ryan Coonerty apparently asleep at City Council, at least with his eyes closed.
Meow now.
5'1".
And another squad car is arriving. It's about 3:15.
Santa Cruz doesn't like its homeless community to be downtown, so we have some squad cars here to drive away musicians. Yeah. Because
Two misguided individuals upstairs are claiming that the music here is loud. I don't think so. The officer herself didn't find it to be unreasonable noise when she arrived.
And actually, it's not an issue whether the music is loud. It's unreasonably disturbing noises. It's interesting that the word music or singing does not really appear in the ordinance. It really seems to be referring to other things, like loud kinds of noise. And singing is not customarily considered noise by most people. I mean, I suppose bad singing is considered noise. And repeating the same thing again and again. But there is a broad First Amendment right to express opinions in song. I believe that that's always been my understanding. Now, Santa Cruz may start setting some new precedents, perhaps. Who knows?
I didn't say that to you, Robert.
You didn't say it was. I asked you specifically, and you said, no, it's just a citizen who's making a complaint. It's on this tape.
This is, again, a dispute between myself and Officer Schoenfeld. We asked her when she arrived, is this unreasonable noise? And she refused to answer. She kept refusing to answer. And that seems to indicate that she doesn't think it's unreasonable noise, because if she did, and she then we would be violating the law, and she wouldn't have to get a citizen's arrest. She would write the citation herself, because she would be observing a crime, unreasonably disturbing noise.
The officer herself had no complaint about it being unreasonable noise, yet she took the complaint of two, I don't want to call them bigots because I don't know them personally, but it sounds like bigotry to me, by two downtown residents and possibly some merchants, I don't know.
In a free speech zone.
In an area that is called the free speech zone. There are actually only two free speech zones in Santa Cruz here. And in the next block in front of O'Neill's, where you're actually allowed to set up these kinds of tables in this way. And they're also corralling an innocent woman here who wasn't even present on the say-so of two individuals who aren't here anymore, who popped back inside their houses. They have police doing their dirty work for them downtown. Harassment downtown in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. A $250 citation is being written for music downtown.
How many keyboards are in jail?
Two. What's that?
Use a keyboard, go to jail.
Use a keyboard, go to jail. Thank you. And present are Becky Johnson, Robert Blindbearer.
And this is, I'm listening now, the people who are present. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org, where you're in Santa Cruz, California, or we are anyway, and you may be as well. Call-in number here is 427-3772.
Coral and Michelle. Looks like Michelle and Becky are the ones who are getting the citations.
Was that from how much they were paying, getting paid to hassle us?
Oh, I don't know. I doubt they're getting paid anything. I think that's just sort of their frame of mind, you know?
Being brainless.
Or being, I use the word bigoted. Maybe that's a little strong. And the two police officers are filling out the citations for a citizen's arrest for two instrumentalists, actually one instrumentalist and another woman who's just walked down and happens to live in the St. George.
The citizen was wanting to make a cite based on the noise. At that point, I told you if you wanted to stop, quiet down or move, that would be the case. You told me you were not going to be doing that.
And the tape shows that we said we would be doing that, and she simply isn't telling the truth. I don't know why. It's on tape, so maybe... It is true that trying to put a tape into evidence in court can result in a very expensive procedure. When I tried to do that in a previous case, they required an expensive transcript of the tape. The tape itself was not considered adequate evidence without a transcript, and that that may be why. It's hard to say. Maybe Officer Schoenfeld's recollection was different, but she initially wanted us to move, and we said no. Can we quiet down? And you can tell. And we agreed to, but she wouldn't tell us, you know, exactly what level of noise was acceptable or level of singing was acceptable. I hate using the word noise because I don't think it was noise. I think it was political songs. It was some pretty clever political lyrics, actually, but that's another story. You can read about this, by the way, on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz Indie Media. I posted a story there yesterday, and there's also a story on Becky Johnson's log, Becky Johnson, One Woman Talking, in case you want to check it out on the Internet.
I did?
No, she didn't.
You guys did.
It's not on tape. I mean, it is on tape. And she said nothing of the kind. She asked if, repeatedly, it was okay if she quieted down, and you said yes.
What's that on here?
Do you have a
standard noise that you heard when you walked up so that we knew whether we could continue singing in that same standard noise and be lawful or not? And you refused to say. I never said I refused to move, and I never said we were going to continue singing despite the
fact there was no continued singing.
There was no continued singing. So this is a false arrest, you know.
Officer Inouye.
Officer Inouye, are you aware that this is a false arrest? Can I speak to you when you're done with her? Thank you.
00162. Actually, what this is it's a citizen site that I'm passing on to you from another citizen. Do you have idea, sir?
Yeah, but you had...
You're not accusing me of playing music, are you?
You were singing when we walked by. Pointed out by the gentleman upstairs.
I was singing when you walked by?
Yes, and the gentleman upstairs pointed it out.
When you walked by, I was singing.
When I came up, yes. When I first walked by here. And then the gentleman pointed you out as being one of the singers. So you're getting a cite for unreasonable noise.
Even though you have no testimony as to whether it was unreasonable.
I do have from the citizen upstairs who cited you.
Did you find the noise unreasonable when you arrived?
You and I have already had this discussion.
You did?
And that's a perfectly reasonable question for me to ask her, because somebody else may not like the song I'm singing, or may be unusually sensitive, or may just have some personal problem of one kind or another. But the question is whether somebody who is a police officer downtown who's heard a lot of singing back and forth, who walks up and down the avenue, considers the noise to be unreasonable. They may have their own personal agenda as well, or their own professional agenda. And so that there can be questions about that. But their testimony can be important, and they may be reluctant to misstate what they say. But they also may want to give credence to what the citizen is saying, even if they didn't think it was unreasonable. So she's not saying whether she thinks it was unreasonable, even though I've asked her for an opinion. And to some extent, if she refuses to say, and she really believes it isn't unreasonable, and she's still taking a citation for it being unreasonable, she's in essence saying that even though she feels there's no probable cause for any kind of ticket, she's going to let the citizen proceed with what amounts to a false arrest. She's going to facilitate that. And that, in fact, is what Officer Schoenfeld did, along with Officer Inouye.
Answer it. Did you find the noise unreasonable when you arrived?
It's not me making the complaint.
But I'm asking if you found the noise unreasonable when you arrived.
And I'm not answering you.
Why is that?
Because it's not up to me. I'm not the one making the cite, sir.
Could it be that because you didn't find the noise unreasonable and you don't want to lie about it?
Because I'm not the one making the cite.
Well, then you have no problem saying I'm not making the complaint, but I didn't find the noise unreasonable, do you?
And there's a reason why one asks that question, not just to defend oneself in court, but if you want to sing at a certain volume on Pacific Avenue, you have to know what that volume can be. And if it means that any time anybody objects to a song from a building, you're going to have to leave or move along or face a $200-plus ticket, that itself is unreasonable and is not something that comports, I think, with the Constitution or even the law as it's written, and isn't even fair in a kind of an elementary sense. There has to be a clear standard, or at least some kind of a standard, and that's why you ask the officer, well, how is this too loud? Letting the police officer be the expert is a danger, too. But when it's obviously not too loud, police officer comes up and she or he would look ridiculous saying it was. that may be the reason that the officer doesn't want to say one way or the other. Oh, I don't have to say because I'm not writing the ticket. Well, you do because you're a police officer on the beat. You've heard it. Your testimony is going to be required, you know, at some point in court probably by those of us who are defending ourselves, although that's a risky business calling a police officer who may side with the other side. But the fact that she's unwilling to say at the time that it's unreasonable noise shows that it shows a kind of irresponsibility here, or else a partiality to the notion that the theory that you can drive away people who are singing just by making a complaint, whether it actually is unreasonable or not, that just the complaint is sufficient to do that. And, of course, one question which we might have asked but didn't is, then we can continue playing here if we'd like at a quieter volume, and or much quieter volume, and then you can there'll be no difficulty. But in essence, what she did was she chilled the scene. People became afraid to play music of any kind based upon this interruption, which is a very serious thing. Not so much for us, but for anybody that this happens to.
I'm prepared to identify myself as Robert Norse, N-O-R-S-E. And
S-N-O-R-S-E?
Yes, 309
Cedar. What's your middle name, sir?
That's the full name that I'm using, Robert Norse.
And what was your address?
309 Cedar.
And I don't know if all the details of the address and so forth are necessary.
PMB
14. But actually,
by the way, I look at it.
Well, that's good.
Robert,
you
what's your zip code?
Was that 150,000, Robert? You owe the city.
Well, I'll talk.
Sure.
To you, I'll talk
can
you
give
afterwards.
Me a minute when
sure.
I'm done.
You
want to
talk
Thank
afterward? You.
You
can make your speech. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Your zip code, sir.
95060.
How are you?
And your driver's license number.
Is that a camera person?
That I don't know, but I think you have it on record under Robert Norse.
And age today, sir? Good
picture.
Hello. 62.
And your birthday?
And again, these are details. Again, this kind of it is sort of humiliating to have to put out this information to people who are on the street, and it's not necessary.
How tall are you?
About 6 feet.
It's necessary in the event that there is really a crime happening, but where this is simply a deterrent to drive away people, it is, well, it clearly makes people less likely to do this kind of thing. And that's the point, is to drive away people that displease a certain class of people downtown who live there, who are residents and who are merchants, regardless of whether they're actually breaking the law. This whole process becomes sort of, you can imagine what an ordinary homeless person suffers and feels as this goes on, if they're put through this kind of grilling and interrogation for, let's say, sitting next to a building.
She what?
230.
And so what's being done here is the officer is getting the details of me for a citation, which she wrote me, and then this continues.
And Robert Blindbear is also getting a citation. A tall fellow in a red sweatshirt, or actually a red T-shirt, short-sleeve T-shirt, is life is good.
I don't know anything about that.
Having a discussion with Becky over to the side.
Well, yeah, arrest the people you don't like and then make up a charge about them. Like this guy just did to us.
And at this point, an individual on a bicycle with this red T-shirt that says life is good is began heckling us and saying, serves you right, and so forth, and you've never done anything worth a damn, and just sort of a treating it as a public pillory, which to some extent, for people who can't leave because the police are holding them there, again, in a false arrest, can be not just uncomfortable, but frightening.
Yeah, so playing, singing music.
I know.
Singing acoustic music in the free speech zone.
Boo-hoo.
And we got falsely accused.
Boo-hoo.
I'm going to talk to you anyway.
Boo-hoo.
Well, I didn't expect
is it another law?
Anything more I can do with this, sir?
In a moment, I'll finish. When I'm done doing this, I'll finish.
Well,
with
they're writing what?
Sure.
One?
And that sound is the sound of a phone call coming in. Let's see if we actually have a caller here. Let's see who's on the line. Hi there, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hey, Robert, this is Bob Offer Westark from San Francisco. How are you?
Hey, Bob. San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness, I'll bet.
That's right.
Thank you for calling in. I hope I didn't miss any information from you on the email. I know you're covering the sit-lie law being proposed up in the Haight-Ashbury area.
That's right. It actually applied to the entire city, but the hysteria around it's coming from Haight-Ashbury, yes.
Before you talk about that, I was wondering, I think you told me earlier, you were a part of the, and we're live, by the way, so beware on the air.
Sure enough.
You were a part of the RAP, Western Regional Alliance Project, march up Market Street in the driving rain, or was it a driving rain at that point? Or?
I mean, you know, sometimes it was driving, sometimes it was just a nice afternoon stroll. Yeah, that was that's the Western Regional Advocacy Project. It was us along with a whole bunch of other organizations. CHAMS from San Jose, the Free United Homeless Coalition in Fresno, the Safe Ground Movement folks up in Sacramento, along with our member organizations in Portland and the East Bay here, Los Angeles.
And how many folks do you estimate showed up?
You know, I'm bad with the estimates. It was definitely a few hundred. I would guess somewhere between 500 and 800.
Wow. And I know. I guess what I read, there was a rally at Justin Herman Plaza, which is the area at the end of Market Street on the Embarcadero.
Right. It was a rally at 11 o'clock. We had a number of speakers from all the organizations. A lot of chanting, a lot of good spirit. I mean, and we were fortunate because the sun broke for our rally. And then at roughly 1 o'clock, we began the march. We were joined by the Brass Liberation Orchestra, and they kept the people lively despite the rain. It was great.
The Trash Orchestra?
The Brass Liberation Orchestra.
We have a Trash Orchestra down here.
Oh, great.
Maybe similar, I don't know. And then I was reading from Mike Rhodes of Fresno's account. He briefly wrote a little bit about it, that you were going to go to the federal building, but Homeland Security shut down that idea because you're all a bunch of terrorists, as we know.
Well, we had applied for and received a permit to have a rally at the federal building back in, I think, October. And then 6 weeks later, we got word from the General Services Administration that they were pulling our permit. They'd revoked our permit, decided it was a bad idea. I guess they Googled us or something and didn't like our type.
Whoa. Well, your type, of course, isn't wanted around San Francisco.
That's what we were hearing, yeah.
Have you actually ever been drawn aside on air flights or anything of that sort?
I have, but I think that at this point most people in this country have.
Really?
Or most people who have flown have.
Interesting. Well, that thrill awaits me. I don't fly much. We'll see how that goes.
It happens to me just about every time.
And what does that involve? Actually, you're told you're not given a cavity search, I hope.
Oh no. My bags are gone through every time, but I don't think that's uncommon.
And so what you do is you're asked specific questions of a political nature?
No, I have not been.
Well, that's good. That's what I was wondering. Because I know Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Complained that when she went to Vancouver, she was held and grilled at length about the nature of the lecture she was going to be given because of the concern about the Vancouver Olympics that are going to be held there. And I guess this year, and that they wanted to, they're engaging in anti-homeless measures up there to clear people away.
Yeah, I've been reading that from the street news up there. But Amy Goodman is, of course, much more high profile than I am.
Well, it's sometimes good to be low profile, I guess.
I suppose so. Get you there faster.
So Bob, how long have you been with the San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness?
I began volunteering 5 years ago, and I've been working here for the past 4 years.
And the reason I contacted you is I've been reading online. I read an editorial in the Bay Guardian, which is a free weekly up there, where Bruce Brugman, who's not terribly liberal on all issues, did seem to be taking a pretty strong and clear stand on this so-called proposal. Well, it is a proposal of the so-called sit-lie law, which can you tell us a little bit about what this sit-lie law is proposed to be?
Sure. We don't have a proposed text as yet. So there's a lot of speculation as to what exactly it would say. The basic idea is that there are certain people in our society who don't want undesirable elements, which could be construed in different ways, to be allowed to sit or lie down on the sidewalks. The way that that's generally covered in the media is that it's not homeless people they're talking about. It's some other group. They're thugs, or they're pirates, or I think there was an editorial in the Chronicle a couple of days ago that called them the Road Warriors. They're some sort of mythical group that travels up and down the West Coast.
Drug dealers, gangs, you know, people who are identifiably evil.
Exactly, and they're somehow different from the mainstream homeless population, and there'd be a law that would magically apply only to them, only to the bad people. Reading between the lines and looking at sit-lie laws that have existed or that do exist elsewhere in this country, it seems that what they're looking to try to propose is a law that would make it illegal to sit or lie down on the sidewalks, perhaps during the daytime, perhaps 24 hours a day, in particular parts of town, probably commercial corridors.
And, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking over, actually, I'm trying to find online the article, and I'm going to keep doing that. Has this kind of, you have a board of supervisors that's been nominally pretty liberal on at least the, I don't know, is there still a law in San Francisco that bans you from sleeping in your vehicle?
Yes.
Is that enforced?
I think it's MPC, Municipal Police Code 97, I think.
97. Is that regularly enforced?
Not consistently.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Not consistently.
And do you have, the Coalition on Homelessness, as I remember, has a staff that would kind of, an attorney would help homeless folks who came with their tickets to come and largely get them dismissed to the rage of people like columnist C.W. Nevius, who writes twice a week column in the San Francisco Chronicle?
It's not a staff person. I'm the staff person who coordinates that program. It's a collaboration between us and the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. It's their staff attorney who actually handles the representation or coordinates representation. That's a lot of pro bono attorneys who work on it. We work on status crimes. It's what the DA's office, what the police call quality of life offenses. But basically we take on infraction cases where a person does not have access to the public defender and where they've been cited primarily because they're very low income. So we do a lot of, you know, obstructing the sidewalk, which usually means sleeping on the sidewalk, or trespassing, which usually means sleeping against the side of a building, cases.
What are the, you mentioned a couple of these laws, what are the primary laws in which homeless people are criminalized in San Francisco as the laws currently exist up there?
Blocking the sidewalk, sleeping in one's vehicle is charged a fair bit. There's a state law against lodging, which is used quite a lot, especially in the Tenderloin. Camping, sleeping in the park, separate laws for those. Disobeying a park sign, which also is frequently used for sleeping in the park. Let me see. Those would be probably the really big ones. But then, of course, there's, you know, cops use jaywalking laws against any minority group that they want to, you know, if they want to look through your belongings, they'll get you on jaywalking, because everybody jaywalks.
And have there been any successful civil lawsuits recovering property or getting some kind of compensation for what sounds like it can be unconstitutional arrests under these laws or stop sites and so forth?
Nothing of the magnitude of what we saw in Fresno. Just for your listeners who aren't aware, there was a case recently, Kincaid versus Fresno.
Yeah, the Kincaid case. And I know there's also the Jones and Spencer settlements in Los Angeles and San Diego that were significant in stopping the sleeping bans down there.
Right, and we haven't had anything of that magnitude, but on a fairly regular basis, we help people to file small claims cases, and a good portion of those win. So there's restitution, financial restitution. Obviously, people's rights continue to be violated.
How successful is this small claims avenue? At Santa Cruz, we haven't used it much. You actually gave a call. I don't know. Were you listening to the show right before you called in on the stream or not?
No, I wasn't able to figure it out. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I got to be clearer in my instructions, I guess. But there was four of us were given tickets for singing songs on the sidewalk in a political protest downtown on Pacific Avenue a couple of weeks ago.
What was the charge on that?
Unreasonably disturbing noises.
Oh.
Pretty much of an insult for a singer like myself, I must say. But I'm thinking that at some point it would be nice to, you know, to get some sort of recompense. Are you, when you go to your small claims court and you, and these cases are dealt with, are you only able to recover, you know, like, I don't know, money for property seized, or have you been able to get damages for humiliation, suffering, that sort of thing?
I've got to say that I've never looked into damages for humiliation or suffering, so I can't answer that question intelligently.
But you haven't actually heard of it happening.
I've never heard of it happening, which isn't to say that it hasn't.
Right, and one kind of hopes it does, but I don't know. Usually that's sort of it. You have to go beyond small claims court often, is what I've told you, to get that. The sit lie law, which is what I asked you to talk about, is also something that's been happening in other cities. Santa Cruz has a law. You probably read my email about it, which actually is a very extensive series of laws that make it illegal to sit down on 100% of sidewalks near businesses that aren't downtown, and about 95% of the sidewalk that is, because it requires a 14-foot setback. You have to be 14 feet out from a building, 14 feet from a crosswalk, 14 feet from a statue, 14 feet from a telephone, a bench, et cetera, which leaves a very small amount of the sidewalk to sit on. And they're increasingly devising ways to shrink that, it seems, or at least those areas are shrinking. When I was attempting to look at the San Francisco law in this column, which I've actually found by Bruce Brugman, which you may have read, have you been online looking at the Bay Guardian on the sit lie law at all?
Yep, yep.
You know, his editorial is sitting on the sidewalk is no crime. One of the big defenders of this law keeps talking about, his name is Arthur Evans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he presents a number of concerns. I'm, in order to be fair about this, although maybe this is a waste of time, I've never been entirely sure, but suppose I were to present to you some of Evans' arguments and hear what you might say in a debate with him. Would you be interested in, want to do that for a moment?
Well, that might be good practice. I have not read Evans, and I saw that he posted a long series of comments on the Guardian's website, or the Guardian's blog, actually. And I read the first of those, but I haven't read the subsequent ones.
Right. He does have a, he is kind of like the front man for these, or he's at least a person with very strong persuasion that these are good laws.
Yes.
And he talks about, he gives some examples of people being spat at, of people being menaced by groups of drunks, alcoholics, thugs hanging out, people jumping up and ranting homophobic comments and pursuing people down the sidewalk. And of course, my normal response to that, and the response of some of the posters on this blog, is, well, there are laws to deal with that.
Right.
For which the response, and we hear that down here from people who support more laws, is, no, first of all, a citizen has to have witnessed it, has to have the willingness to stand up and actually write a citizen's arrest, as was done with us with the singing, for instance. And usually this invites further retaliation, or the people are afraid to do that, or the folks are gone, or the cops aren't there, and you have a situation where this kind of behavior happens. I guess the inference is, although he doesn't say this with some regularity, and I often ask for stats, you know, how many times does this happen, how frequently does this happen, and how much are we dealing with criminalizing innocent behavior when you have people who are sitting down on the sidewalks, either in Santa Cruz or in San Francisco?
There's a lot to respond to in what you've just said.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, the first piece is, of course, what you have been saying, which is that, you know, spitting at people, beating up people, the things that we hear them complaining about, these are already covered by laws that exist. There's a law against assault in California. There are a couple laws against assault in California. So there's not, in that sense, a need for a new law. If they're talking about the argument that citizens' arrest is necessary for these laws to be prosecuted is ludicrous. It's just not true. Police prosecute assault all the time without citizens' arrest all over this city and probably all over most cities. Or I shouldn't say police prosecute it, they charge it.
Even if they don't witness it?
Even if they don't witness it, it's still possible to begin an investigation. There's not a need for citizens' arrest. And citizens' arrest usually is a foolish thing to do. It's not generally a good idea. It's just absolutely unnecessary. And to raise that specter as necessary for the citing, charging, and prosecution of that kind of crime is going to discourage people from actually dealing with those issues when they do really happen.
Why would that be?
If people are unwilling to go to the police because they think that they need to have performed a citizen's arrest in order to get a crime cited, charged, and prosecuted, that's not going to happen very often.
Right, although, I mean, devil's advocate here, mm-hmm. You know, it's possible to make a police report, mm-hmm. but simply making a police report will not necessarily result in a conviction and will not result in these raging homophobes who are attacking our gay people or going after our disabled elderly people who are trying to walk up and down Hate Street and are getting, you know, abused by panhandlers and ranted at and made to feel uncomfortable and unsafe downtown. What are you going to do about this, Mr. Coalition Man?
Right, and so just filing a police report doesn't do it in itself. Of course not. There's a full legal system. We don't ask our police to handle the entirety of the law. We don't want any one governmental body to be judge, jury, and executioner. But that's kind of what's being asked for with a sit lie law, in that people are automatically guilty just by existing in a public space.
Well, not existing. It's just they can't colonize these spaces. They can't sit there for inordinate lengths of time, taking over whole parts of the block, making other people feel unwelcome and unsafe.
But a law that's against them does not make them feel unwelcome and unsafe. I mean, there's a serious issue of intent. I mean, the courts have dealt with this before. What's an inherently criminal activity and what is an inherently innocent activity? And I think it's pretty hard to argue that sitting on a sidewalk by itself is in some way inherently criminal, that sitting on a sidewalk makes people feel unsafe, unless people already are feeling some sort of prejudice against the sort of person who sits on a sidewalk. That shouldn't be a legal issue. That's a social issue. So if you're talking about the kinds of things that actually are making people reasonably feel unsafe or unwelcome, there are laws already against those, which is the first thing we talked about.
Well, again, quoting from Arthur Evans, mm-hmm. On the San Francisco Bay Guardian website for those who are listening, and again, I'm talking with Bob. Give me your full name again, Bob.
Sure, it's Bob Offer Westort.
One more time?
Offer Westort.
Offer Westort.
Westort.
And he's with the Coalition on Homelessness. We're talking about the proposed sit-lie law in San Francisco. Arthur Evans writes in defense of a sit-lie law that the people who colonize public spaces and the hate cause problems with noise, sanitation, and public safety. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I mean, I guess I want to see the evidence that it's them. I wouldn't argue that there are problems with, you know, sanitation in San Francisco. But I think that to blame that on one particular group of people is that requires some substantiation. Noise and, what was it? Sanitation and public safety?
Yes.
So the noise and the public safety, again, I think there's a lot of hysteria going on in the hate around the public safety issue. You know, we hear all these claims of things that happened, but there's not been any documentation or follow-up. And I really think that this is being spurred by a couple of folks who really benefit from hysteria. Including Mr. Nevius, whom you mentioned earlier.
C.W. Nevius, who's a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. How does he benefit from this? I mean, he writes columns, a number of them are about his particular view that homeless people should... He seems to have some sympathy for homeless people on the one hand, and the other hand, he has a lot of sympathy for laws that seem to be criminalize homeless people.
Yeah, I don't know about that first part. I mean, Nevius' first column about homeless people was an almost celebratory column about a guy who had no legs and moved around on a skateboard. The guy was known as Skateboard, who got hit by a postal truck and killed as a result of that. And Nevius' column said, well, that's just an expected result of the kind of life he lived. I mean, the guy was crossing at a crosswalk when he had a walk light. It was unfortunate that the truck couldn't see low enough. But that's the mentality that Nevius is coming from. I think the way that he benefits from it is that by stirring up hysteria, I mean, the part of it's an economic context, right? The newspaper industry is not doing well across the board, and it's pretty common knowledge in San Francisco that the Chronicle is doing spectacularly badly. It's losing money hand over fist, or hand under fist, I guess. There's been a push at the Chronicle to try to move more toward an online business model. I don't know how that's supposed to work, but they definitely need hits online for what they're trying to pull off to happen. A lot of it's going to come from advertising. If that's actually going to be sustainable is an anybody's guess. Nevius gets a record number of comments in his columns postings when he covers homelessness. And the Chronicle's actually made a big deal about this, that, you know, when Nevius covers homelessness and talks about controversial homelessness issues, he can get 1,000 comments or more. Nobody else at the Chronicle gets that.
What's the percentage of positive, pro-homeless to anti-homeless comments?
I haven't even tried to figure that out. Most of what we notice is, of course, anti, but that's because it's partially the nature of anonymity on the internet. People who want to say nasty things feel much more open to say them when they have anonymity, right?
Right.
So some pretty spectacularly awful things are said in the comments, which I don't think most people would feel comfortable saying in public. And I think that people who are disgruntled, who don't like society, who feel mean-spirited, are more likely to want to say things in a blog's column or blog's comments than are those who are less mean-spirited.
And of course, your point here is that the Chronicle online, which is it's increasingly making more money online than it is selling papers,
or at least trying to,
and this sells this kind of controversy, which this column, San Francisco Chronicle columnist C.W. Nevius does, sells. And some of it is whipping up hatred or fear around homeless issues and conflating them with gangs and drug dealers and so forth.
Right.
We're having the same thing down here in Santa Cruz, by the way. And I'm talking with San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness Legal Eagle, expert, hard worker. How would you describe yourself? What's your position?
I'll go with hard worker. I wouldn't say legal eagle or expert.
Hard worker, 5-year hard worker, on the issue of you seem to have some expertise on civil rights concerns in San Francisco. You've been studying them, certainly, and working on them, probably taking reports on them. Bob, give me your last name again.
Offer Westort. Sorry, it's a doozy.
It's a fine name. I should be writing it down, but I'm trying to keep up with a number of things at the same time, and I'm not doing that. But your name will be accurately written and spelled when we describe this, and it'll be this interview, for those who haven't heard the earlier part of it, will be in the archives at www.huffsantacruz.org. Tomorrow in Santa Cruz, this will be Friday, and I believe it's between 5:30 and 6:30, and I'm not quite sure. There's going to be one of these Take Back Santa Cruz rallies by, frankly, the kind of folks that I think C.W. Nevius would feel quite at home with, and Arthur Evans would too, people who want to see harsher enforcement of anti-homeless laws, who conflate the homeless with all kinds of other criminal groups. And they're talking about a, quote, homeless camp cleanup in February, where they're going to run down and eliminate what they call drug camps.
God.
I don't know if you have something similar in San Francisco, but it's a vigilante mentality that's not very promising. But let me get back to the mild-mannered vigilante mentality of Arthur Evans. I'm reading again from the website in the San Francisco Bay Guardian.
And I've got to say, I mean, I think that it's probably important to note that, I mean, Arthur Evans has been publishing anti-homeless screeds, since 1999 at least. I'm looking at one right now across the room from me. He's pretty obsessive about this issue. So I don't know that he's actually representative of the majority of people on hate who have been persuaded that this might be a good idea. He's a bit extreme.
Here is what he says. If approved by the supervisors, this ordinance, the sit-lie law, would allow police to move people along after sitting or lying for long periods of time on public sidewalks in neighborhoods that are besieged by drug thugs, serial alcoholics, and psychotics. Comments?
Drug thugs, serial alcoholics, and psychotics?
Right, but the point that's interesting in this sentence to me is it would allow them to be moved along after long periods of time. And this is an interesting question. How are you going to tell how long someone has been sitting there? We have a new law in Santa Cruz, a year old, that says you can't sit on a public bench for more than an hour.
Right.
You can't have a political table, you've read this, for more than an hour.
Yeah.
And so what are the cops going to have, stopwatches? Are they going to mark people's shoes with chalk? Are they simply going to take the word, as police officer Schoenfeld here in Santa Cruz did when she gave me a ticket because the complainant said I'd been singing for 3 hours. In fact, I sang, I think, 3 songs in the course of half an hour or an hour, and while actually doing a lot of political tabling downtown. In other words, what's the enforcement mechanism that's being proposed? But I guess you're not really the person to ask, because you say there's even no text that's been proposed yet for the Sitlai Law.
There's no public text yet. According to the captain of Park Station, the city attorney has been requested by the chief of police to start working on a draft for a Sitlai Law. We haven't seen it because there's attorney-client privilege between the city attorney and the chief of police. So there may be some text floating around somewhere, but it hasn't been shown to us. And we can't even get it legally unless they give it to us.
Go ahead.
But what I wanted to say was that the sometimes these laws are written with a time limit in them. So it'll say, more than 5 minutes, more than 20 minutes, more than an hour, what have you. And sometimes it's just straight up you can't sit or lie down on the sidewalk unless you have an injury or a disability or.
I mean, that's what Sitlai laws I've seen in Palo Alto, in Santa Cruz, in Berkeley have all said. At certain periods of the time, and Santa Cruz is 24 hours a day, and I think in Berkeley it's 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. or something, sitting next to buildings and business districts is not allowed.
Right.
But then I've never seen a time limit. Santa Cruz was the first city where I noticed time limit laws coming into effect, but go ahead. I've only got about 5 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, and I want to hit this point, really, because I don't want to talk what in theory, in some ideal enforcement of this law, police are going to do. Let's talk about what police actually would do based on what police actually do. The reason that we win so many of the cases that we take on for police harassment of homeless people right now is that the police don't follow the law. They don't cite people based on the real law because they know that they don't have to. They win simply by harassing people over and over again. And what this becomes is a tool for the police to use to target people that are seen by either them or the members of the community who they think are worth listening to as undesirable elements in the community. So somebody could very well not be guilty by the text of the law of violating the Sitlai law and still get charged with it. They'd still have to go to court on the case. If they didn't show up at court, a warrant would be issued for their arrest. They'd have a bench warrant for missing court. And they would at that point be guilty of misdemeanor. The way that the captain of Park Station has discussed how this would be used is that as these infraction cases pile up for somebody, there would then it'd be possible to get a warrant for their arrest. Once there's a warrant, they can be taken down to jail. Apparently they're hoping to cut a deal with the sheriff's department whereby the sheriffs would start holding people for infraction cases. And I guess presumably since jail is already full, they'd have to start releasing people who have, misdemeanor charges that have them incarcerated or commuted felony sentences from the jail in order to hold people who have the misdemeanor warrants from their infraction charges. At that point, they would try to get a stay-away order from a judge for having sat down on a sidewalk.
This is really, I think, a very important conversation we're having, and I want to invite you to continue it Sunday morning. What do you do on Sunday mornings?
Most Sunday mornings, not that much. I do have plans this Sunday morning, unfortunately.
You do what?
I do have plans this coming Sunday morning.
Okay, because we have a show from 9:30 to 1 in the afternoon. If there's any period of time you could call in then, I'd love to continue this conversation, but that may not be a good time for
you. Let's try to make that work.
All right, what time would you think more or less you'd want to be calling in?
Let me talk with you off the air tomorrow.
Sounds good. Again, give me your name, title, and serial number, and we'll leave it at that for tonight.
It's Bob Offer Westort, OFFER hyphen WESTORT. I'm the civil rights organizer for the Coalition on Homelessness 3.
In San Francisco.
That's right.
And how can people get more information on this whole issue about what's been happening in San Francisco, the homeless, as you've been describing it, in terms of these laws?
We are going to be covering it in the next issue of the Street Sheet. There is a shorter article in the current issue of the Street Sheet, which should be going online on our Street Sheet blog, which is at http://www.cohsf.org/street-sheet. That's STREETSHEET.
If you Google for it, can you get San Francisco Coalition on Homelessness Street Sheet? You probably can find it there.
Yes, and we'll be going live with that tomorrow. But the next issue, which will be February 1st, we will have more coverage.
Because I noticed online there hasn't been a street sheet since September, so maybe you're catching up with that now.
I wonder what's up with that. We just transferred to a different server, so I wonder if something went funky with the blog.
You better get going on that one, Bob. I expect full activity or full action or whatever. Listen, that's great. And you are, hopefully we can work out something for Sunday, and if not Sunday, for a future broadcast. Thanks for being with me on the show.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Robert.
All right. Keep up the good work. It sounds like good work.
You do the same.
All right, man.
Take care.
And that's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides tonight. frankly, I enjoyed the last half hour far more than the prior half hour, which is the audio of the January 1st arrest or detention for tickets, a non-custodial arrest that we had. But I think it's really a perfect example of the kind of stuff that Bob is talking about, imported here into Santa Cruz, or maybe it's what police departments generally do from city to city. So I'll be continuing this discussion, and I'll be continuing the audio tape of the January 6th ticketing, the Sinister Sidewalk Singers, on Sunday. Tune in at 9:30 or before. Thomas Levitt should be in the studio with from the cream. He doesn't have the cream of the dregs. You have from the cream of the dregs.
The morning call with Thomas Levitt.
That's right. It's a
wake. Oh my God! 30 on Sunday morning.
The wake up call. Yes, the wake up call. It's morning, and I'm not even awake now. It looks like. So I'm going to go to.
Good morning, it's, Vietnam.
It's this. That's somebody else, I think. So Dennis is going to be with you in his cheerful, jolly self for the next 3 hours with From the Cream to the Dregs. Anything special coming up, Dennis?
We're on the air. That's what's special.
Yeah, Dennis, thank you for putting us back on the air. Now that's.
Well, I had help.
Yeah.
The Duck Show donated
the generator. Thank you, host.
And the gasoline.
And the gasoline.
And the Green Station donated the oil.
Oh, cool. Thank you, Green Station.
And we're on the air until the gas runs out.
Hey, man. Well, there's some gas coming up here on free radio, and it's going to be gassy. So listen to Dennis until it runs out. And then I guess PG&E will have you back on the air in a couple of days. I have us back on the air. Who knows?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm going to turn the mic over to Uncle Dennis. If you want to catch me off air, you can give me a call, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. If you want to help with some of the local civil rights projects we have, and we got plenty of them which need help, leave a message at that number. If you want to contact Free Radio, the number to call here is Dennis Shows. He can talk to you directly at 427-3772. I'll be back on Sunday at 9:30. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides.
And welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Uncle Dennis here in the very warm seat tonight. Thank you, Robert, for leaving the seat warm. It's not quite hot. Anyway, Robert will be back Sunday morning sometime. Meanwhile, I'm stuck here in the drafty, cold underground studios of Freak Radio. Robert is back.
Hey, I had to come back. I like it here.
I'm going to have to call a courtesy patrol. Your umbrella? I don't see no stinking umbrella. I brought an umbrella.
I'll take your umbrella.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. I'll keep
see you, Robert. Anyway, it's been an interesting few days here in Santa Cruz. We've had some very interesting weather, including a tornado watch yesterday afternoon. For those of you who pay attention to such things, tornadoes are not good for not good things to have around. Anyway, we are going to be hanging around with y'all tonight here on From the Cream to the Dregs, here on 101 FM Freak Radio. We are back on the air after being off the air for more than 24 hours. Unfortunately, our transmitter location suffered a PG&E power outage, as there are still many people without power, and unfortunately our transmitter site is one of those. We were, however, able to locate and get running a generator, and it is now, hopefully, still powering Free Radio. And we will try and keep ourselves on the air as long as we can until power returns. So stay tuned to Free Radio. If it sounds like Christian rock, come back later. We'll try and be back as soon as we can. You know, Free Radio is what it is. And we're always scrambling and trying to do better. So anyway, it is time to get on with From the Cream to the Dregs, music of the 60s and the 70s, rock and roll blues and psychedelic music. And, of course, coming up in a few minutes, right around the bottom of the hour, we're going to be opening tonight's Brew of the Week. It's not a new one, but it's a good one, so stay tuned for that. Find out what Uncle Dennis is going to be drinking tonight. And then, of course, at 9 o'clock, the Earth First Update, all the environmental news you can use, brought to you right here on Free Radio. At 10 o'clock, we will have the Spotlight Group of the Week. That's an entire hour of one group from the 60s and 70s, spotlighted for you for the entire hour, along with their history, whatever I can glean from Wikipedia and various places on the web. So stay tuned for all of that. Of course, if we're still on the air at 11 o'clock, we'll have the hour of Slack, but we're going to have to shut our transmitter down shortly after that, so those folks can get some sleep tonight. That's the unpleasant thing about a generator is, one, they consume fossil fuels, and two, they make noise. So we're going to have to go off the air later on this evening to make peace with our neighbors and hosts at our transmitter site. But we will be back in the morning, hopefully around 8 o'clock, with firing up the generator again and putting Free Radio back on the air. That's all part of what we do right here at 101.1. And here's some Jimi Hendrix for you.
Have you heard about my baby? Have you heard about my baby? Thank you.
my soul.